Sapiens, A Brief History in Human
The amount of times that George has recommended this book to you.
Yeah. No, but this right here rings true because it's like I've always heard that like gossip, like if you read the book, The Four Agreements, the guy says gossip is, you know what I mean, black magic, and it's the destruction of modern day society, right? But if you're saying that this dude wrote a book called Sapiens and he's saying gossip is dope, I'm gonna gossip the fuck out of
him. What are your thoughts on gossip, Sam?
It's healthy if you do a decent amount, but if you overdo it, you're gonna be rough.
What do you mean?
You're gonna be a rough person.
I mean,
I mean, like if you do it, I think it's healthy to get a little bit out because. But if you do it too much, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah.
If you do it a little bit, though, I think it's like a healthy.
But don't you think gossiping is, you know, it's like I feel like gossiping is like 40% of what I do on podcasts, and it's also one of those things where you know how many people hate me. Mm. There are people who just don't
people
like.
People hate
me.
You?
They don't hate me, but there are people that are always mad at me. Like I'll get like a call from Eleanor. I that was wrong. What you just said.
Really?
You know, I go. Oh.
Well, he just does this a lot. And we've had to talk about it in therapy. It's like the amount of embellishing about
everything.
Another person who cannot then defend themselves is insane, including myself. Like, well, he'll
that's
come
a tough
up
thing
story.
About like if you do a roast, you're supposed to have the other person there. But if you're just shitting on someone on a podcast, that's like that's what all podcasts are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you would think that because people have said, talked about me on podcasts and embellished and, you know, exaggerated, but I feel like it's just the language of what we do, and it's I just feel like it's fair game.
Yeah, but you're shaping someone's reputation in the world, and they're not able to shape it themselves. And that
yeah, but I'm not making shit up. It's like if I said like if Sam left and then I go, you know, Sam Morrill likes to suck dog dick.
Yeah,
but he told me he liked to suck dog dick.
It was a big dog, and I thought. That its dick was human-like because of its size, so that's not fair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, if I just randomly said that, that's one thing. But if he shares something about he has beef with somebody, I might share that information.
Tell him one piece of basic information, and you can go ahead and say how you would embellish it on a podcast about yourself.
I sucked that dog's dick in the other room.
Okay.
Mama.
She's a girl, but
yeah. I'm going off your rib.
All right, so you ate her pussy.
You
ate my dog's vagina.
Yeah. Right?
So what I would say is to embellish it would be, so we have a dog that no human, the dog hates all humans.
Yeah.
It gets crazy. you have to pull him back.
Yeah, yeah.
But for some reason, Sam Morrill walks in there and the dog is completely mellow, goes on its back and starts doing this thing. Right? And Sam Morrill just starts eating the pussy.
He just starts doing it, dude.
Yeah, but like, there's so many things about what I just said that's wrong, right? Because that our dog is sweet, but I would switch it so I can make the story more interesting.
Juicy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and by the way, when you went in there and you were you're talking to the person there, I thought, I didn't see a person, so that's why I thought you had to ask the dog's permission. That's why I was like,
oh, really?
What the hell? What kind of dog is this?
He starts tiptoeing. He's like, "You talking to the dog?"
Yeah.
Wait. So was Jules hiding?
But she was blended into the couch.
Yeah. You know how she rolls.
Yeah, yeah. And she's also shy. Yeah.
So that's why it was weird when you were like, "It's fine." I was like, "All right."
Did you legitimately not see? Another
I didn't see a person. So I thought you were talking to a dog. For a minute.
That girl is our sidekick on the other podcast I do with Andrew Santino called Bad Friends. She's
not a rando, by the way. She's my niece.
Yeah.
So in
it's
case
not
you think
a human trafficking thing.
Yeah.
All right. So here are the rules on my podcast, Sam.
Sure.
Just don't. I mean, we're gonna keep probably all this in, but from now on, until I say your name, don't say anything.
I've heard. Yeah.
From who?
My friend in New York City is a big fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you have a friend in New York City that listens to this podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Violinist.
Really?
Should we give him a shout out?
Asian?
What's his
Asian.
Name?
A girl?
Boy.
Oh.
Man, I don't know why I said boy.
Man.
You fell with boys?
He's a little Asian boy who I hang out with.
Because there's another Asian female I think her name is Chelsea, and she's like a Carnegie Hall pianist.
Oh, wow.
Pianist?
Yeah, she's like amazing, right? No. And then now I have a violinist.
He loves you.
Really?
Yeah, he was really happy I'm doing
that. But what kind of Asian is he?
Oh, that's the test of friendship right
there. You mean, where is he from originally?
His parents.
No, what kind of Asian is he?
Oh, he's Korean.
Did you make that up?
No.
No, honestly. You
no,
know
he, is Korean.
100% Korean.
He's Korean.
All right.
Yeah. So great.
From the
Korean.
Bay Area, but Korean.
Oh, well, I want to get into that, but let's just, okay, so start and then don't say, and... Anyway, welcome to another. It's late. No, it's not. It's 8.
Why are you fighting yourself?
I don't know. I'm just talking to myself. Because today was just so, it's kind of boring. Although we went to that fish place.
We went on a date.
Oh, no, Bobby.
We went to the fish place. We went to the fish place. That was nice. And we met your friend who's a spearfisher.
Shout out, Valentine Thomas.
Valentine Tomlinson. She's fear.
Thomas.
Thomasless. She's a fierce fear fisherman.
Spear fisherwoman.
What is it?
She
fishes with spears.
Yes.
Spears.
Spear fisher woman.
Oh, sorry, my bad. I'm sorry. I don't know the language. It's difficult for me. What are you laughing at? Anyway, we got some people in the room. We got Gilbert, who, proud of you, man.
Thanks, man.
You better pull through.
Hey, don't put that kind of pressure, bro.
You better pull through.
You gonna coach me?
No, because I'm gonna say this right now.
Dude.
I'm not gonna say what it is, but I got him. So I talked to a producer of a show.
Oh my God.
I have to do it. I have to do it.
Pressure's on now.
Right? He's like a real high up producer. And I'm like, can you give my friend. Well, no, he even brought it up. He goes, I have a role that your friend Gilbert might be good at. And so I set it up. You better fucking hit it out of the park. Congratulations.
For the
good to see you.
Yeah.
We got White Man Jones right here. Doing it. You know, your shoe game is usually good, but that shoe? What? Nah.
I love these shoes.
You love these shoes?
Yeah, but the
fucking,
shirt.
I love these shoes.
But the shirt. What do you think about the shirt?
It's like, you know, those shoes is what, literally what Saruman would be wearing. Like under the robe from like, right? From the Two Towers. Yeah. You guys know Saruman? Anyway, let's move on. We have a guest today.
Oh.
And, you know, our meeting was bullshit. I'm going to get to it, right? It was bullshit. It was Hollywood. I didn't like it. But he's a really funny stand-up. He's from New York. And I've just been a fan of his stand-up. He's so quick on his feet. And it's that crop of kids from New York, you know, Mark Normand. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He's done our podcast. Love him. Schultz, right? These white dudes, this new breed of white dude, I'm telling you right now, this new breed of white dudes coming up is so impressive, they put chills down my fucking spine.
Yeah.
Okay? And this dude is in that class of white dudes that are going to run shit, right? I'm being pretty real. That's real, dude. That's real, honest, my opinion.
Okay? Yeah.
Sam Morril, give him a round of applause.
Thank you. Why was there a meeting?
I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
You and I did something bullshit, bro.
What did we do?
I'm going to tell you. So, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I have never met you before in my life. Okay? But when we were at the Comedy Store once, you were in the hallway. Right? Yeah. And I knew who you were. And I think you knew who I was.
Yeah.
So, I walked up to you, and we acted as if we had already met before. I'm like, so you're going to do my podcast? Oh, yeah, I'd love to do it, man. I'm in town, this and that. And we just talked. We had this, like... We had this rhythm as if we did the like, I'm Sam, I'm Bobby, nice to meet you, this and that. We didn't do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was as if we just Hollywooded it.
Like,
it was very Hollywood.
I thought you knew that I was visiting and looked uncomfortable and were just being friendly. I didn't think of it as Hollywood. I thought you were just being nice.
Yeah, but when you meet a human being for the first time, don't you go, my name is Sam?
I think for some reason in LA, I'm never here, so I think... some people I've just like messaged with here and there, and then they just do that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Hollywood. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't, you know, because, you know, Like Andrew Schultz, when I first met him, he goes, "My name is Andrew," you know, because because it's just like what human beings do, right?
Yeah. Nice. And it's, I also, it's also what kindergartners do.
That's true, right? But here's another thing that I knew, and maybe this is gonna be hard to say, but I'm gonna say it. You're great, and like I said before, you're one of the new, you know, but you're also a power couple with Taylor.
Okay, sure.
Okay. No, honestly, because in terms of female comics, mm-hmm. it's just in comics, and I shouldn't even say that because, you know, I'm woke. Yeah. I'm slept but woke at the same time. Sometimes I'm sleeping, but then I wake up.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. And I gouge my eyes out and I go, she is not just a, you know, she's one of the best up and coming from this side of the country.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And then you're New York coming up there. And then you guys are together right now dating.
Yeah.
Is that out there? People know that?
I mean,
you don't like it?
I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah. But here's something that's what also I know, which gives it an added like power. When they're a power couple, doesn't it or no?
I think you're projecting your own dreams.
No, I'm not.
For what you want for us.
I'm telling you right now, if Ben Affleck.
Affleck? Is there a T at the end of that?
Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
You got it. Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I said originally.
I think so. I was wrong.
Thank you. If Ben Affleck was walking down the street, right?
Yeah.
By himself?
Yeah.
I'd be like, fuck, this Ben Affleck, right? Mm-hmm. If it was Jennifer Lopez and him were walking down the street, there would be so much paparazzi from like the bushes, and I would be pushed aside. I wouldn't even be able to say that out loud because, you know what I mean? I would be in such an awe of, right? So I'm saying that when they're together as a power, mm-hmm. right, it has an extra oomph to it.
It does.
Oh, okay.
Is, you know what I mean? Yeah. Peanut butter alone is okay.
Peanut butter jelly, right?
Right. But when you put jelly with it, it gives it a different vibe.
They had to take time off, too. They were too hot in, like, the early aughts, right?
Right.
And then you threw a little A-Rod in there.
Right.
She found out what she was missing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A little fucking Argo in her life.
Yeah. You know? Well, so do you think that's what happened? You think that they break up, right? Wait. So what's the girl that's in the commercials? Oops. Jennifer Garner.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So was Jennifer Garner before J-Lo or after?
After. J-Lo.
Right.
So honestly, this is why poor Jennifer Garner got the shit end of the stick. Because they were called Bennifer.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, she got with, you know, it's Bennifer 2. Like Bennifer 2.0. That's what she was with him.
Yeah.
But they
Why couldn't they create their own name with them?
Like what? What's Ben and Jennifer together?
Bennifer. Well, that's...
She could have been like Jab or something.
Jab.
It's not good. You're right. It's Bennifer. It's like
Bennifer, you're right.
But you would say Jab and you'd be like, but it could have been Bennifer. And she stole it.
And then she was with A-Rod, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's now doing something with Garner. She's with A-Rod.
A-Rod's the best Instagram follow in the world.
What do you mean?
It's just
like... Am I missing out?
Well, first off, did you see that picture that went viral of A-Rod? And it's just like A-Rod taking a shit.
But let me see.
But I gotta see A-Rod taking a shit. You see in his towel, I think his towel say A-Rod on them.
Oh no.
Because someone, if you could find that picture of A-Rod taking a dump. There it is. But that's a lot.
That's a lot.
And he's in like that power dress shirt.
I've never taken a shit with a button up.
Me neither.
Wait, also, may I just add something? He's doing the Gilbert Gallant style of shitting where he takes his pants all the way down to his ankles. Ooh.
Oh, that's my style was off my body.
Yeah, he takes off your body? Off his body.
I also take my shirt off if it's long.
What?
I'm naked.
Mm-hmm. Not me. I take it to here.
That's a risky move.
Mid thigh. I don't care.
You do a hover squat.
It creates a different game.
Well, your legs don't even touch the ground.
Can you open your thighs though?
No, so man. I have little pudgy legs.
So your poo's squeezing out.
Yeah. So it's like, I have underwear on, so I'm just going to. This is not going to be a thing, right?
Let's see what it is.
So I do this.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Look at that. My asshole is in the hole, in the toilet. My clothing is nowhere near the asshole. Why isn't this. Why do I have to take this whole thing off?
You don't want to spread your legs wider? Like, see how his arms are on the inside of his legs?
No, because I'll tell you why. Okay, because I shit. I know every time I take a shit, it's like the appetizer. Just hear me out.
I'm hearing, baby. Let's go.
Right. I know how my body functions. Uh-huh. I know the garbage that I eat. I know how unhealthy I am, right? Yeah. So the first load is just the prequel, right? It's like back to the Lord of the Rings because it's the only movie I've seen, right? Right? It's just watching the Fellowship of the Ring. So when I shit first, it's the Fellowship of the Ring. We still have the Two Towers and the Return of the King, baby.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
I'm so confused.
What does an appetizer poo mean?
No, because I'm just saying when you poo after it's all out, yeah, right? You think you're done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, I think you sit there and you just like the sensation of the bidation up your asshole because you're stuck in some Freudian state of liking that feeling of your mom wiping.
She's good. That was good
for you.
That was smooth. That was pretty.
Sits there 30 minutes. Just
I take a long. Yeah, if my shits are like Avatar, I would say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Long.
Long, big, and
blue?
Unpleasant.
Super blue.
Right. Yeah, very blue.
Yeah.
No, I go wide stance, I think.
Yeah.
I go wide like I'm asking a woman to stick her finger in it during sex. That's how wide I go.
I respect that because I think that's the more proper way to do it. Because the country I'm from, we actually have to sit our feet on the toilet. So it's like this.
The squat heels down.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like you're giving a guy a massage or something.
Yeah. Crazy.
Exactly. But that's how we poo at home.
Why?
It's
are you from the land of cats? What is this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, apparently it's better for your overall like digestive health too. The angle at which it comes down.
Uh-huh.
I was told.
Bro, I just,
that or we're just.
I just realized something about you.
Yeah.
You are a white kind of white dude that we've had throughout time. Just hear me out.
I'm excited to hear this.
I could see you in the Band of Brothers, right?
The show?
Yeah.
Totally.
Right? I can see you as a 1920s baker.
Oh, right? For sure.
I can see you, right, giving Sir William Wallace a sword.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Right? Throughout time, there's always been that face. That kind of white dude. You were never a leader?
No.
No.
Probably not.
Yeah, you were kind of like the fifth in command. Like.
Oh, know. When you said Band of Brothers, I'm like, I ain't making it past the second scene.
No. You would definitely die.
Brave.
You know, you're not brave, right?
Yeah.
But no, in terms of your face structure, very bellboy, 1940s. Like, there's something about your face and your body.
He's just calling me ugly. That's all I'm saying. No. He's like, like a service worker of some kind.
I'm just saying, look, right? Like, you ever seen olden time photos?
Just say classic beauty.
You have a classic
old timey face. I get that. Like a film noir in the 40s or something.
Yeah, like, let's think of another comic that has that. Like I think, you know, without the attitude, Jezelnik, right, is one of those faces that you could see as a fisherman from the 1800s if you saw a black and white photo. Yeah, Matt. Yes,
I'm right. Fancy fisherman.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying without the attitude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but without the leather jackets and the fucking emo vibe, you know what I mean? Yeah, but
is
like
he emo, he's like the most closed up. Jezelnik's emo?
No, but he dresses very emo, like tight. You know what I mean? Jeans. You get
stylish.
What I'm saying? Stylish. He's stylish, right? But then there are white dudes that you've never seen throughout history,
like Chris DiStefano.
Oh yeah, Chrissy D.
No, you've seen him. Coal miner, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, but like Joey Diaz.
He's not white. That's why we've never seen him.
That's why you've never seen it. You're right. Like, give me another shot. Like, give me another shot.
White guy you've never seen?
Yeah.
Joey Diaz.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Dane Cook. I've never seen an 1800s.
My nose crinkled.
Like, Dane Cook, Jezelnik. I don't get how one is like you've seen and Dane Cook.
Because Dane Cook looks like I think it's because I think he's done stuff to his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah. Well, that's why you haven't seen that look. They didn't have Botox in the 40s. That's why.
Come on, Bobby.
Is that what it is? Oh, yes.
Exactly what it is.
I'm sorry.
I'm a shoddy.
Yeah. let me think if I have another white dude that like, oh, here's a girl, a white girl that I've never seen throughout history. Whitney Cummings.
Mm.
Maybe the dye, is it the orange and green hair?
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I've never looked at like a, you know, like back in the day, like in the jazz years in New York in the 1920s. Hello, my darling. Hello, my. You know how the white people used to do that?
Yeah.
Hello, my darling. Hello, my baby. You know what I mean? All that. Yeah. And in the girls are wearing the fishnet stockings and doing that weird dance. Yeah. I can't see Whitney's face in that. Can you? Or Esther Pavinsky, for sure. God's never made something like that before.
Mm. Esther. Yeah, maybe in the form of like a small Japanese boy.
That's right.
That's true.
Because I feel like that's Esther.
Hey.
Oh, let's go back to you, Sam. I'm sorry. Right. I went on a fucking tangent, which is what I do.
Sorry, this is just the image of what's called.
You see this,
about.
Sam?
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I dare you to just give it a try one time.
So I feel like I'm going to miss and just spray it out. But so, I'm going to have strong glue.
So the left is unnatural.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be doing that. Mm-mm. So you know how dogs poo?
Yeah.
You know how they'll take... Let's see, this is my front leg.
Well, here's some other options.
The pole dancer.
Asian squat.
Oh, my God.
The squat. The pole dancer is a good one.
The break dancer.
The break dancer. I've never done that.
You got to try that one.
I've never done that. I've absolutely done that.
The lazy I've done.
The break dancer is emergency shit in public stance.
Yeah. I do the praying to Allah. That's a good stance. the begging for forgiveness is another good one.
Yeah. Or what about that one you do in yoga where you put your foot like this and you do this? You think you can shit like this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
Totally, yeah.
That's a figure four.
Figure four, yeah. Oh, that just burned.
Mm-hmm. You're very good at it.
Okay, let's not talk about shit anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about you.
Sure.
And so I'm sorry for bringing up your girlfriend. Let's forget
that's
about
fine.
That. Because you're a powerful person on your own. And let's just go with that, okay? So here's the deal. And we talked about this earlier.
Sure.
Yeah. How do you riff so good? I watch you riff and it's like I go, I would have never thought of doing that. When I'm on stage and I hear a heckler, I do a face, like, oh my God, right? And then I'll try to do a one-liner or something to get the fuck out of it, but you stay in the pocket.
Well, that's the only thing I have. I don't have, like...
What do you mean?
Well, you have all these other tricks. Like, you can, you know, you're a great physical comic.
Right.
I mean, you are. I mean, I don't...
No, I'm hearing, I'm listening to you. That's me listening.
I Mad TV back in the day, I knew who you were before I was a comic. I love Average Asian.
Oh, wow.
That's old school.
Don't make me blush.
That's a deep cut.
That's deep cut.
That's a deep
don't
cut.
Don't make me blush. But
no,
that,
I remember
that
loving
great.
That.
Oh, thank you, man.
I mean... You have other things. I'm just kind of a deadpan in the pocket comic, so that's my only gear.
Right, but the gear that you have is like, like quick. Like your mind, right, is like, because I've seen
people. I like you like, it's what's the word for it? Quick.
No. Clever. Clever, right? It's like, if somebody yells out like, I think I heard you do like a fun, some lady laughed weird, right? And then you were able to go, I don't even know, because I don't want to fuck it up, but you said something like, well, that was the first time you laughed because I would have definitely heard that laugh before.
Well, other comics have said that before. Hedberg said something like that before. I think I went a different direction off that. But yeah, there was
I'm not accusing you of being a hack. You got really
defensive. That's all I hear. I'm like, shit. Yeah.
Did you just get into town or were you there for the floods?
Oh, I wasn't there for the floods. I was on the road. That was crazy. That looked like another fucking
there was a flood in New York
movie. Yeah.
Yeah, like in the subway station, like people were going through water up.
You guys are on fire. We're underwater. We should just meet in the middle. And, you know, this is crazy.
And I told Kalila the other day, I go, this could be like the precipice, like the beginning of like a disaster movie because of maybe global warming. I mean, I don't know, right? But they're saying it's the hottest it's ever been in like Death Valley.
Yeah.
How do you think you'd fare in a lawless world?
Oh my God, horribly. Are you kidding me? Look, you hear what you just called me, the weakest link in the fucking movie. I'd be a disaster.
What's Lala's world?
I can't drive, like, for one thing.
Oh, so I'm pretty terrible. But I think that cars will be pretty useless at this point. Because
I assume I'm going to be a pretty terrible shot with a gun. So
yeah,
that's out.
Yeah, but I think you could do this.
Yeah.
Right? I saw this in a that show, Black Sunday. What is
Black
it?
Summer.
Black Summer, right? So this woman has a car, and I don't be offended by what I'm about to say.
You're just like, Jew.
Don't be offended.
I saw a scene, and just maybe if you agree with me or not, okay?
Yeah, tell me.
Where a girl has a car, and this guy knocks on the window, and he goes, I'm not a criminal, right? I just need a ride. My wife is dying, right? Can you just give me a ride? She's like, how do I know? You know what I mean?
You're not infected.
No, I can trust you.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a Christian. I believe in God and this and that, right? Right? She goes, okay. So she goes to the driver, like the passenger side. He gets in and he goes, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right? Are you that guy?
No, I don't think so. I'm the guy who would fuck her over, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
In a desperate situation, though, let's say, like, you know, your girlfriend needed the car, right? It's a two-seater, right? Would you go to that length?
Well, I just said I can't drive, so no.
Oh.
Wow.
You don't know how to drive?
I have a license, but it was like a bullshit. I got it.
You know how to drive, dude.
You be in a car with me, and you'll be like, this is bad.
Really?
Yeah, I have a license, but I remember Joe List, really funny comic, good friend of mine.
I love him.
Yeah, well, we did a road gig once, like 10, 11 years ago, and the deal was we split the driving, and it was like 30 hours worth of driving gig to gig, you know? And I did 30 minutes. He did 29 and a half hours.
Because
he was like, you're a fucking horrible driver.
What? Am I a bad driver?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. New Yorkers stink at driving. I used to do road gigs with Dave Attell, and he would drive with, he looked like a kid in a toy car. He would just keep doing this.
yeah.
And I was like, he's bad. He's better than me, but he was a bad, he's another New Yorker, though.
I know. And, you know, when I was young, him and I toured.
Did he?
Yeah. And I remember he brought, I'm not kidding you, a pillowcase as his luggage. It was like
that was his mask for the rally.
No, this is 20 years ago. He used to have like a pillow you could stick a stick through, and it would be one of those, like, you know, it was like crazy. And then I remember back then he goes, we were in Texas, and he goes, I go, what do you want to do after the show? He goes, let's go to the Greyhound
bus station.
Mm-hmm. I go, why? Let's drink coffee and just look at the people.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you. So we went to the Greyhound bus station, and we just observed people drinking the coffee.
Oh my God!
Right? Mm-hmm. Like what a great guy.
He's my favorite. He helped me so much, and he's the best guy. I remember we did a gig once in Tarrytown, and we're driving back, and he never feels like he murders, but he kills, and then he gets in the drive back. He's like, I'm a hack. I'm a fucking hack.
I know.
And I was like, Dave, we all think you're the best, and he goes, well, I'm better than you guys.
I know. What is that about us that we do that? Because I'm sure, do you do it?
Yeah, not to Dave's extent, but like I do it. Yeah, because you just, for me, it's like I look at guys like that. I'm like, well, how can I think I'm funny when guys like that exist? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But honestly, we just have our own thing.
For sure. And also it's like, I think it's also preventative from turning into an asshole. You're like, well, I never want to be like the cocky guy, but I also, you don't want to have too much self-loathing. You're unbearable to be around.
Yeah.
You want that balance, right?
Yeah, I had an opener once say to me, and this is the last time I used him. I'm not going to say his name because he's going to get really mad because I've said his name before by telling the story.
Yeah.
But he said, he's an opener, right?
Yeah.
What would you do? You're headlining.
Yeah.
You bring a feature.
Mm-hmm.
He gets off stage. The host goes up to bring you up. And as you pass, he goes, follow that.
Ooh. Did he make you smell his fingers too?
That would have made me sick. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be way worse. You're like, he raped the waitress. No, follow that.
Yeah.
Because
I'll tell you why that disturbs me.
Yeah.
It's because already then you know to him it's some sort of weird competition, right? And it's also I'm, you're opening for me. It just seems, is it me?
I have an issue with like the opening act who try, who's like their mission is not to kill, but to blow you out of the water.
Mm. Yeah.
Because then it's, you're right. It's not about them. It's about you.
And, yeah.
And it's, I think you get to a point, like, I think most comics, when they're opening for too long, they get to a point where they're like, I'm going to fucking make it a point. And then it's like, well, then you should be headlining. You shouldn't be featuring.
I had a fucking, a local MC come up to me in Texas and go, I'm usually a headliner, but, and I wanted to go, well, then go home. Yeah. Because you're hosting.
I've had that happen a lot. It's weird.
They say that to you?
Yeah, well, they'll be like, yeah, this is my off week. I decide to just, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
And you're kind of like, you don't have to have a disclaimer, man. I don't give a shit. Just go up and kill.
Yeah, and it's also like, I've opened for dudes like, I mean, I want to brag, but Martin Lawrence, mm-hmm. right? And he told me, do 5. Now, could I do longer than 5?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, right? But it's like, I'm just going to do what I do, and I'm there to serve him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And I know that he's a gigantic star, right? And that's, I'm just blessed to be here. But some comics have this like, especially, it must be rough. You live in the Midwest. You've been doing comedy for 15 years, right? No breaks.
Yeah, but you're not making them live in the Midwest. Move.
That's true.
Yeah, I didn't tell you to live in Toledo, Ohio. Pack a bag and get out of here, man.
Why do you think people don't do it? Move.
Fear.
Fear,
but also, like, I think there's a comfort in being a bigger fish in a small pond. And then I've seen great comics move to New York, and it's tough, and they're great. So just being funny is no guarantee that things are going
to
be easy.
Yeah. Do you want to be a star in a D3 school, or do you want to be, you know, the 8th fastest in a D1 school?
Right.
Good point.
That's true.
I think the second.
Me too.
Yeah. I think the second.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, were you good when you moved to New York? Did you start in New York?
I grew up in New York. So it's weird. The thing about growing up there and starting there is that people see you when you suck. I was 19, so.
Wow.
I mean, people saw me at my worst, and it's weird when you're doing jokes that are like kind of what you think are like, oh, this is kind of a dark premise, and you're bombing with it. People, they just not only don't like your comedy, they're like, you're a fucking asshole. You know? So
Yeah.
So it's tough to like, well, here's all the worst of me.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm just going to be.
But that could also be your perception of what you're going through. Because I think that, like, even when I was, like, young, and in 95 is when I started, and I would say, God, I don't know how to write a structured joke. I'm just kind of crazy up there and doing weird things. And maybe some comics were like, you know, what the fuck are you doing there up there? You don't know how to write a joke. But there were certain comics, like, Paulie saw me as an open micer, and he came up to me back then, and he goes, you don't know how to write a joke, but there's just something weird about you that's interesting, which is the kind of feedback that I like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, well then.
Well, he saw you.
Yeah.
He like saw who you, he's like, oh, you see something unique in me. That's cool.
Yeah. And that's for me what is cool about comedy, right? So when you were coming up, I'm sure, like, because if I'm seeing an open micer say something dark and they're committing to it, and it's not working, I don't think, what an asshole. I think it's hard. The fucking thing.
Well, don't you think jokes are hard at open mics? I feel like when something isn't obvious, with an audience, there's like a deal where you're like, I pause, you know that's the joke, you laugh. At an open mic, they're like, we know what you're doing, motherfucker. We know your tricks, we don't give a shit.
All right.
I mean, I remember a good friend of mine, Gary Veeder, he's got great jokes, but I remember watching him just bomb at mics because they were just like obvious. Not the premises, the jokes are great.
Yeah.
But they're just like, we see the mechanics.
Ah. It's so
brutal. It's hard to do bits at mics.
Yeah. It just brings me back to how, do you ever think, how the fuck did I go through that?
I don't know if I could do it again.
I don't either.
Just because the mics suck. I would hand out flyers instead, because I would just rather do the handing out flyers and be like, these are people I don't know. I felt more freedom to fail if they were just strangers. Although the looks you would get handing out flyers on the street were just, the pity was just brutal. I remember a woman just looked at me and she goes like, "Aw." Just call me a fucking loser.
Yeah,
don't,
yeah, yeah.
Don't go, "Aw."
Yeah.
I was a flyer giver outer.
I hated
in high
it.
School. It was my first American job.
How
I was
it?
Very proud.
You liked
for
it?
LA Fitness.
I did it as a summer job too for comedy clubs, and then I was like, "This is depressing."
Well, would you have to? I mean, did you have to hand out the flyers for you to perform?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I remember like there were different places. You learn how to work different streets. Like I do Upper West Side, like 109th Street, and that was hard because no one was there. You're literally like you see a person like a block away. You're like, hopefully I get that person.
Yeah, yeah.
You would literally go on stage where there would be like four people in the crowd, and you have to be like, "Hot lineup tonight. This person's here. This person's here." And then they'd be in the crowd, them and like four other people, and they'd be like, "Your first comic," and it would be me, and they'd be like, "You motherfucker, you lied to me."
Yeah, yeah. No, but if you like, when you're passing out flyers, yeah. Is there a chance you're not going to perform because you didn't pass enough flyers out?
Yeah, I saw this. Good friend of mine, Dan St. Germain, he did it once. And you had to do it 2 hours. It's the first time I met him. It's probably like 14 years ago or something. And he's handing out the flyers. Then he goes, "Yeah, I think I'm good." And the guy goes, "You only have to do 10 more minutes. You can go on." He goes, nah, I think I got it. I'm good." And I was like, I've never seen a human being put themselves through that for nothing. I was in shock. You're like, you put yourself through an hour, 50 minutes for no money, for no stage time.
Yeah.
He was just like, I can't do this.
Wow. In LA, we do bringer rooms here.
Well, you can't flyer in LA. There's no.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not enough foot traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. In New York, Times Square was not as bad to bark there because there were so many people that it would go by more quickly.
What do you think is easier, though? Is because bringer rooms in LA are like, you can't perform unless you bring 30 people.
Jeez. 30 people. I mean, you run out of friends quickly. I had friends who were like, I'd be like, "Come to my show." And they're like, "I'm not watching all those shitty." They're fine watching you bomb. But like the other lunatic, the three of them are like fucking mental patients that are never going to do it again.
Yeah. And the problem with open mics is too, is because you're mixed in with the crazies and the homeless sometimes. Like when I started open mics in LA in 97 or 98 when I moved here, there was half of them were homeless.
Right.
Like people just street people.
I would love to see that show.
I know, but you would have.
That's what you think.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they go on and it's like nonsense and you're like, I don't want to follow. I don't want to live in this. Like, it becomes craziness. I'm with you.
Have a guy like Robert William Aprovaya, and he still does them. He's in a green suit.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to think. I'm not going to. And the sun. You know, and they're doing that on stage, right? Ba-da-doo, right? And doing a different language, right?
It's my time.
And the audience is like, 5 minutes of this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had no problem bombing. You're like, I can handle bombing, but like, they'd be reading the open mic sheet like, "All right, your next comic, BTK serial killer." It would be like, and then you're like, I have to sit through this shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, speaking of BTK serial killer, please pull up his sketch of him.
What is it called?
Really?
BTK, yeah. Sketch of BTK, Fine Torture, whatever.
Did you get this cookie?
These are the best cookies.
No, you really had this before?
Yeah.
I want you to tell me who you think the BTK, best. This is a sketch of the real BTK killer.
Yeah.
Damn. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Yeah, bro.
Damn. Well, you got a new podcast logo.
Merch.
Honestly, that's a real sketch of the BTK Carol.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
That is incredible.
Wow.
That was in New York? Where was it?
I'm not sure.
Where did BTK do his killings?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not actually sure.
Babe.
Yeah.
His daughter. He has like a daughter. All these serial killers have daughters who are
they always had. I don't know if you watched the show, the one we loved, David Lynch one.
Twin Peaks?
Only had two seasons on Netflix.
Mindhunter. I'm good.
Yeah.
You're really good.
But most of them carried on like regular relationships, like had children. I mean, even, I hate to say our favorite guy, but Richard Kuklinski.
One of my favorites.
He was like a mafia hitman and he's a sociopath, killed a lot of people in cold blood, but he desperately loved his family. Like he loved his kids so much. And but you're right, they always have regular lives outside of the killings.
I mean, Dahmer had a wife, right? Or a girlfriend, or not Dahmer, Ted Bundy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also Dahmer had a dad who loved him so much. In fact, when he was on trial, Dahmer's dad came every day, you know, and sat by his son and supported his son. I think the mom bailed, you know, but it's like these people have.
Is that what you wanted out of your dad? What? That kind of love? You always reference like the that the Dahmer dad son love. Mm.
Yeah.
Is that what you wanted?
That's what I wanted out of my dad, yeah. Because it's I got it's one of those things where if I went on a serial killer rampage, that if and I got caught, I think my mom would show up. I don't know if my dad would. At the court cases?
My dad didn't show up in general.
What happened?
No, I have a great dad, but my biological dad just split when I was like, you know, brand new.
Oh.
Yeah.
You think he'd show up to all your court hearings?
Yeah, maybe because he'd be my actual dad who raised me. Yeah, I think he would. He's a great guy.
Well, your stepdad raised you.
Yeah,
and so
but I call him dad. He's
okay. I know, but he's still your stepdad. No.
Yeah, yeah. In case he's listening,
he loves dad. You very much. Drop the step.
All right, Steph, forget that. Your dad loves you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But your biological dad.
Yeah.
When you're a kid,
I won't say his name. I'll say it backwards. Bob.
Oh, so when you're a kid. And when was your dad introduced into your life?
Who raised me?
Yes.
When I was like, my mom met him when I was like 4 or 5, probably.
Okay. Yeah. So before that, though, you didn't have a father figure?
No. Grandfather was around, but
right.
Yeah.
But as a kid at that age, are you aware that you don't have a dad?
No.
Because your mom probably gave you everything, right?
My mom ruled, yeah.
Yeah.
I have the most overbearing Jew mom. Like, you don't even, like, worries more than anyone. But, like, I see, like, worry as love because of she worries. So,
yeah.
So now Taylor's like, are you okay? Did you land safely? And I'm like, aw. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He sees it as just a nuisance. Every time I'm like, you know, are you there safely? He's just like, yeah, I'm fucking here.
No, because she acts as if like it's a miracle that I got there.
It is a miracle that you get anywhere.
But it's not. It's like, even when we're driving, she's like, sweetie, it's like, I don't get in car accidents that often.
How many car accidents have you gotten into?
2 or 3 times a year, right? But I drive every day, right?
One was with him.
But I've never hit a human. That's one time. Good.
One time. Yeah, one time. That case got settled. Don't ever bring it up again. Yeah. Bruce Jenner.
Anyway, so as a kid, you didn't, you weren't aware that your dad was gone.
No.
This guy comes into your life when you're 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Totally cool.
Yeah, he's the best.
He moved in?
Yeah. Well, we moved in with, he has 2 kids, so we moved in with him.
Oh, and so then, did you get along with your steps?
Yeah, I like them
all. I mean, your brothers and sisters?
Yeah. I see more of my brother because my sister's got 3 kids, and she's like a high-powered lawyer, so not a lot of free time. But
there's love there. Like, you could call her if you had a problem.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Now, can we talk about your bio, Dad?
Sure, yeah.
One of our favorite shows, we should preface this by saying, one of our favorite shows is that children reunited with their biological parents. And so Bobby and I bond when we watch a show. We cry a good cry.
We fuck during
that. No, that's 600 Pound
Life. Oh, yeah.
But.
We fuck during 600 Pound Life. Yeah. But when did you start feeling, because I'm so curious about, because I think this is the root of why maybe we do comedy. This, you know, mine's from trauma.
Yeah.
Yours is maybe through abandonment or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw your episode where you were talking about it on Bert's thing. The cabin. Yeah, it was
The cabin, yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you realize, did you care?
No, you know, I didn't realize until I was like, I didn't care because I liked my situation, but I realized when I was like 19 or so, I was dating this girl and both her parents were psychiatrists. So she was one of those where like everything was like, you know, we'd be arguing. She'd be like, who are you really yelling at? And I'd be like, oh, come on. That's so unfair. That's such an unfair tactic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it worked. And I was like, I guess I got to meet him. So I know.
Yeah, yeah.
You fucking shame me into it.
Did you meet him?
Yeah.
Oh. How?
Well, he left a note in like a safety deposit box.
No, no. Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
The episode.
That's a great premise of a show.
Yeah.
So what safety? Whose safety deposit box?
It was like in the bank.
Yeah, like in Switzerland, like when you want your money like untracked.
Oh.
Yeah. So my mom was like, yeah, he left a note if you want to meet him. So.
So what did the note say?
I don't remember. Some bullshit.
But he left it a long time ago, and then you finally read it.
Yeah.
Right, and then it had a number.
No, but my mom's like, I can find his number.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So then you called him?
Yeah.
You uncomfortable about talking?
No, not at all. He was taking a shit apparently when I called him.
So yeah, yeah.
He was like, oh crap, what is it? You know, and then
Yeah.
And I was like, oh hey, I'm Sam. I'm, you know, your biological son, you know, and he was kinda like, oh. He's like, okay. And then he said, well, do you want to meet for coffee or something? So we did.
Wow.
And how was it?
It was good. It's weird to see someone who looks like you. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah. Shit, he looks like... He's old. He's very old, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like mid-80s now, probably.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I remember it was good. I mean, you kind of spend less time because it's like, at first you're like, this is crazy. And then at a certain point you're like, well, I have a better dad who stays. Like, this is the real dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But like, now that you're successful...
Yeah.
You would say you're successful, right?
Sure,
you're killing it.
Thanks.
Would he has he contacted you and said
no? I mean, he has my number. He lives like 7 blocks from me. So he's So it's like I've had awkward like, oh hey, what's up on the street? Come on. I'm
like, all right. Bio dad.
I'm like, shit. Maybe he won't see me if I walk this way, you know?
Oh, if you would avoid him.
Well, no, we had a couple. We go to the same rec center. Like he would go for PT, no. And I would go for just like to swim laps.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And so I would see him there. I would see, and it was always like, oh hey, what's up, man? How you doing? He's like, how are you? You know. So, but there were times when we like, you know, I went to like a couple like Christmases. They had his wife is Catholic, so they do Christmas.
Yeah,
and. Yeah, we're fine. We're cool. I mean, we're fine.
Yeah.
It's just hard to, like, how many... You realize, like, when you're on the road all the time, how many relationships can you maintain? And I'm like, I struggle to see my own family. They live in New York, but, like, so it's kind of like, how much room do you have? And then...
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a bad excuse. He's 7 blocks away. But I told you guys the geography.
No, but it's also, I mean, what is...
But it's emotionally a lot. And
yeah.
And I do see the irony of like me having to now take care of him. So,
right.
So that's not lost to me. But we're fine. It was like one of my first jokes that people would be like, oh, is your biological father a good dad? And I was like, if I were, I probably wouldn't refer to him as my biological father.
Yeah, yeah. Did he have children on his own?
Yeah, he's got a son I've never met. He lives out here. I've never met him. We look a lot alike. I did the Facebook search and yeah, we look a lot alike. And
different last name then.
Yeah, different last name. But I remember I asked him once. I was like, yeah, I'd love to meet him sometime. He's up for it. He's like, yeah, you know, I floated it out there and he didn't really take to it. I was like, all right.
Oh, that must have hurt.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't feel great.
Just like, ooh, that hurt me. Oh, my God, that sucks. Oh, I have another question to ask you.
Sure.
Why did you do America's Got Talent?
I think desperation. I think just like any...
I love the show, by the way.
Oh, I don't.
I know, because I just hung out with Howie 4 days ago.
He's a great guy.
Love him. Great guy.
Really, Howie Mandel's a solid dude.
And I know a lot of comics that have done the show, which is, I feel like it's right for them.
It's not right for me.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want to fight with you. Right?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's right for you.
He just said that.
I know, I'm just...
They're gonna fight now.
No, you know what the problem was? That show is, it's a nightmare. People, I think it was like 6 years ago or something, and I was kind of like, I just want to sell tickets on the road. I'll do,
right.
I want people to come, I just want people to see my stand up. And I was doing a lot of road gigs, I was doing like headliner dates, but papered room. So,
right.
So those are tough to build an act. It's hard to write an hour of material when they're not your people. And so I did AGT. It sucked. I remember auditioning for it, and they're like, "All right, we're gonna see you through." And then I did the thing out here in Pasadena, and it was like a 5,000 person theater.
Oh wow!
Nick Cannon's like interviewing me. I'm making jokes. He's like, he's acting sincerely. Like, I'm like, these are jokes. I'm fucking yeah. making jokes.
Yeah.
But then I remember going on. I'm freaking out. I get anxiety in these things. Like,
are you? I when I watch the show, I always know. Oh, I'd never be able to do that. The pressure.
It's awful. I mean, I had already done Last Comic Standing, and I hated that. And
oh my God.
You realize, too, these shows are all about casting. So I had a good set on Last Comic, and they just didn't move me on. They were like, we're going to not. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
But so I'd been through that already, but I was like, I'm desperate. I'll do whatever it takes. So I remember doing AGT, just freaking out backstage, and I'm texting my mom, like, I'm freaking out. She's like, read a book. I'm like, Mom, read a book. There's two fucking fat slobs from Atlantic City dancing Mambo Number 5 next. You want me to read? Like, I think I can, like, I can just focus. Like, Last Comic Standing sucks because you're around comics and their anxiety, but you're around all walks of life and their anxiety.
Oh my God, I can't
like,
imagine.
There's like a talking parakeet right next to me. I'm like, this is. And I feel guilty too because there's like dance troops. Like, I'm a comic. I can go on drunk. These people are stretching. They're like, they don't know what they're going on.
I know.
It's a nightmare.
Here's another thing is that. Like, I've done, like, festivals with other comics, right? Oddball or whatever. And if you're nervous or whatever, you have other comics to, like, go to and go, you know, and they can give you, like, you know, you're around your people.
Yeah.
With you... You're with the fucking the ninjas. They're doing some sort of dance routine. Yeah.
It's brutal.
It's brutal, man.
I remember, and they would fuck with you. They want you to be a wreck because it's good TV. So they'd come in and be like, Simon Cowell's in a bad mood today. And I'd be like, what? Oh, and oh, they'd be like, Simon, he hasn't eaten yet. So he's very, I'm like, feed him. Feed him. Why can't you, like, there's yeah. food around.
Did you meet him?
Yeah. Okay. So the first round, it's in that big theater. And I literally watched two really nice Orthodox Jews dance, like do a rap thing. I thought it was pretty good. And I'm watching them. And Simon's like, you're dreadful. You're terrible. You're never going to be anything. And people were like, boo. So I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm going on to this. The cat, there's like a supervisor or something there. And she's like, do this joke. I like this joke. I'm like, I'm not doing that fucking joke.
Yeah.
It's like a dark joke. They're going to boo me off. So she pushes me out there. I go out and they're like, I can tell they just want to eat me alive. So. And by they, I mean Simon.
Yeah.
And he was like, so, like, give me your worst gig ever. And I'm just like, all right. So I tell this story about a guy getting up out of the crowd and spitting on me.
Yeah.
And I figure, like, well, maybe this will get them on my side a little bit.
Yeah.
And I end up, Simon even says, well, I hope this is better. And I was like, all right, maybe I softened him a little bit.
Yeah.
Set goes great. I feel pretty good about it. It was like a standing ovation in that room. There's a hilarious clip of it where they cut it up for the thing.
Yeah.
And it's me telling a fart joke, and it just cuts to all the judges giving me a standing ovation. And it's like the most... and they're like, well done. Yeah, and I'm like, man, my mom is so ashamed of this.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, that couldn't have gone better. I get out. They're like, all right, we'll see if you move on in the next round. I was like, they just told me I moved on. They're like, well, that's not how it works. I'm like, I got four yeses.
What do you mean?
So that anxiety. So now there's the anxiety of like, we might not air this. And
right.
I was like, you put me through that and it might, and it went as well
it's
as possible.
Evil. Yeah.
It's evil. And then they, like a month later, they're like, you're in for the next round. So like, all right, I fly out. It's like classic.
Did they fly you out?
No.
They don't fly you out.
They don't fly. They don't even pick you up at the airport.
Oh,
I was like calling my manager at the time, like, where are they? They're like, oh, they're not getting you. I was like, I've been here an hour. What the fuck?
Oh my God.
So then I get to the hotel. There's construction. So I don't sleep at all the night. Like they wake us up. Like construction wakes you up at like 8 a.m. I'm anxious. I have no sleep. They get me there at 10 a.m. I go on at midnight. So they're just fucking with me for like 14 hours. I go on, I follow some Destiny's Child, like, knockoff, and they Simon eats him alive.
Yeah.
And I go on after them.
These aren't the live shows yet, right?
No, I'm not. It's not a live show yet.
Yeah.
I go on, and Simon was like, I do well. I got it's like 2.5 minutes. And I got like 2 applause breaks. And
yeah.
I'm hitting pretty hard. Not as well as the first round. It was a more juiced crowd. It was not midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and, George Lopez is one of the judges. He was a nice enough guy. He was like, I thought you did well. And Simon was like, I liked you. I liked you better in the first round. And I was just like, I mean, it was a better crowd. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I kind of don't have much. And then They put me up against a mime named Tayface, who was incredible.
Oh, he crushed. Dude, that guy crushed it.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
It's hilarious that my mom was even like, you had our vote. I'm like, well, I know you didn't vote for Tayface, Mom.
Wow.
But no, he was great and very nice guy, too. And
yeah.
I remember, I think he just took a residency in Vegas. If you're in Vegas, you should see him. He's really great. And I remember they put us against each other, and we both did well. And there were like people, but they were like, we can't have two of you.
Oh, right.
So they eliminated me. And,
but did they air that stuff?
They aired those.
The first two?
They combined into like one long segment, but it got like, it's like back then it was like 10 million viewers.
Wow.
So even that one spot was like, you know, something.
But, yeah, man.
But it doesn't, it's just, you're right. It's not a loyal audience, and it's not, it's really not the right look for me.
The reason why I say that is, there are certain acts I've seen where it's like either they're an impressionist, right?
Right.
Or they have a character.
Sure.
Right? And, you know, and when I used to see these people at clubs and stuff, I'd just be like, it's not the right environment for that type of act. Even right. a comedy club, because comedy clubs, especially if you're at the Cellar or at like, you know, the Comedy Store or whatever, right? It's like they like traditional stand-ups,
yeah.
right? Like what you are, right? And also, you're very relevant, and I think you're edgy, thanks. Right?
Yeah.
What?
I said thanks.
Yeah. So when I saw you on American God, because I love the show, right?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's interesting. Because it's like, I don't see you in that world.
Yeah, I think I was just desperate. I think, you know, the clubs got hard. Like, those Funny Bones, like, when it's my people, it's great. But, like, back then, it was... They were really rough. I remember walking audiences just because they had no investment. They got free tickets, so they would just be like, "You suck, fuck you."
Well, yeah, the Funny Bone in Columbus, I guess.
That's the best one I heard. I actually haven't done that one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened. I used to do it every year,
mm-hmm.
and then one year he just says, "I don't want him anymore," and wow. I haven't been there. I went there like 5 years in a row, and then Stroop, which he's a nice guy,
yeah,
but he's just like, I'm just dead to him, you know, which makes me sad. But
you're doing great.
Thank you. But Hedberg headlined that room.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stroop switched him. He said to Hedberg, it was a Friday night. And for that night, he goes, I want you to feature to Hedberg.
Jeez.
And then Hedberg left. Good and then Doug him. Stanhope wrote some sort of like manifesto online.
Like an op-ed.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Because it was so insulting. But it's like, if people don't understand the road, because at that time, I don't think, like, you know, I think Stanhope became a legend after his passing. He kind of grew.
Hedberg?
Yeah, Hedberg did. Right? But before that.
Doug is alive.
No, not. Who am I talking about?
Hedberg.
Yeah, Hedberg is the one that was switched. Am I getting?
Yeah.
Can I start over then?
No,
let me start it over.
You got it all right.
No, let me start it over.
Yeah, okay.
Because I don't think we're clear.
Okay, yeah.
So can you cut part this?
Yeah.
To get it, edit?
He's got it.
You got it? Anyway, so where did I?
Hedberg got switched in Columbia.
Hey, man. So let me try. So at the Funny Bone, all right?
Yeah.
A long time ago, Hedberg.
Wait, you don't have to go that far back in the story. The only part you
We're
going to
keep
up...
all this, by the way. We'll keep all this.
The only part
I'm not going to tell it again.
Okay.
I don't give up because I think I did it right the first time.
No, you didn't. He was confused. Didn't you think Doug Stanhope? He said Doug Stanhope.
No, you said it all right. And then I think you just said Stanhope became more relevant after he died. And I
think oh.
I got wrong.
So let's just get, let's just go to, let's just do, let's, okay. So Hedberg did it.
Yeah.
They wanted to switch him out. Yeah. He left town. Stanhope wrote a manifesto, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then Hedberg became more famous, I think, after he died. So, because before, you know, he didn't half the audience was like unknown. They didn't know who he was. And it definitely, I think that in a packed room of people that are Hedberg fans,
yeah.
he would destroy.
For sure.
Right? But imagine being somebody that like, hey, honey, let's just watch comedy. Well, I don't know who the performer is, but,
yeah.
right? And just showing up. And there's a big difference. This is what I want to go back to you is that like for me, you know, I used to get like half Mad TV fans and have people that didn't know who the fuck I was, right? And I would walk a lot of people as well.
Yeah.
I remember being in Fort Lauderdale and comping like 35 tickets. A whole family of people just got up and left. They go, we don't want to see, you know what I mean?
you know, an Asian man dancing in his underwear.
I mean, well,
right. And I'm still up there, you know what I mean?
Come back.
Right. And like now, and then all of a sudden, because of this podcast, now it's all.
Now it's all people that want to see an Asian.
Yeah.
Dancing in his underwear. Yeah.
It's like 100%. And you can tell a difference, right, Sam?
I mean, it depends on like the city, but yeah, if it's the right city, I mean, it's so much better, man. It's crazy. I remember like certain gigs, and if you had like certain openers who were just like, as you said, like those blow you out of the water openers, they were like on a mission. They're like, here's a like back what happens on Nebraska Avenue, and everyone's like, cheers, and you're
yeah.
I can't follow this shit.
Yeah. Or they go, you know, the LSAU, like some college.
LSAU,
you know, Buccaneer, you know what I mean?
Buccaneer.
Mascot.
Like, you can't compete with that.
And so people are like, yeah, we hate that mascot, right? And I'm in the back going, what is that?
Well, you ever, sometimes I'd have guys, I just talk like this on stage. So sometimes you have guys who would go up there and just give it their everything. They're sweating, they're screaming. And then I go up there and I just talk and they're like, this guy's not trying. He's not sweating.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting style. But now you probably all the time now is your audience, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Come on.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm going to Oklahoma City this weekend and it's like not exactly going to be packed. But I mean, so most weekends are pretty good, yeah.
What club is it?
Bricktown.
What is that?
It's a new club. It's supposed to be pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Guys who run Spokane and Tacoma.
Oh, right.
Good
Bricktown.
People. Yeah.
And it's in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. He has a new love affair with Oklahoma.
Do you?
Oh,
Oklahoma's pretty cool.
He rode scooters all around town.
No, wait. What part of Oklahoma?
Oklahoma City.
Oh, I went to Tulsa.
Yeah, I've been to Tulsa. It's pretty cool.
You like it?
Yeah, I did like it.
I love steak.
Steak?
Yeah, man. And there was a couple of steak houses. And what I would do is, I was shooting a show there, and I would just take my little scooter and zip up and down these streets to go to a steakhouse. It was just freedom. You know, and it was right after COVID, right? I mean, COVID's still going on, but it was like, you know, I'm out, you know, I'm wearing my mask.
But it was your first taste of freedom, I think.
That's what it was. I just, my hair blowing.
Nice.
And going over to these, you know what I mean? A fat gook, you know, on a...
So people were yelling at you?
Fat gook! I mean, people would notice. I mean, imagine in Oklahoma, this fat gook with a mustache, you know what I mean? Zipping down a fucking
BTK
serial killer. Holy shit.
Who let him out?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Do you have dreams of acting and stuff?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I like stand-up.
You're like Mark Norman.
Yeah, there was an animated show that I wrote with Dana Gould that I really wanted to make, but no one bought it. So it's just, I mean, that I just like working with him on stuff. He's so damn great. I love him and great,
he's one
great
of those guys
too.
I don't know him.
Yeah.
Can you? I don't know.
Just call him right now.
No, I saw him at the Burbank Airport once, and I walked up to him, and I go, "I'm a comic, and I love you so much, right?" And he was just kind of like, "Oh, cool. You want a photo?" I go, "I don't want a photo. I just want to be your friend."
Oh yeah.
Right.
This fat goop.
Because I remember when I was a kid.
I just can't picture you now without the scooter and full of steak when you talk. That's all I see.
I remember as a kid, I saw a Showtime special that Dana Gould did when he was young.
Yeah.
And I was probably 19 years old, 20 years old.
Yeah.
And it was late night, and he was the one guy I'd ever seen perform who seemed my generation, but also talked about insecurities in the way I relate to it, almost suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
Right. And like blowing his head off and like being talking about those things. And I remember going, if I ever did that, I want to be like this guy. Because he was also one of those guys that would sweat on stage.
Yeah.
As a young guy. And he would just be like in the.
But with great writing too.
Oh, the best writing.
Yeah. A lot of high energy guys, like they don't have the writing to match it. And he was like, you know,
yeah.
Killer
it's
writing.
So, the Still writing is so good. It's like, maybe even like the beginnings of when he was one of the godfathers of alternative comedy.
For
maybe,
sure.
Right? Because he was just before Janine and Paul F. Tompkins. I love all those people.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah, but I'm more of a you're a club guy, right?
I just came up in clubs. I like the alt scene too, but I just prefer to get paid. You know, like they were like, here's the free room and here's the room where you get, you know. And I just got used to the club rhythm, and I just, the cellar was just more consistent. Like the alt guys, there wasn't as much stage time because you're like, oh, I got to kiss up to some booker with a beard who's just like, you know. Club, you're just in. You're like, I prefer that. But, you know, yeah. So, no, I don't give a shit about acting unless it's like you get scripts for stuff. They're like, this isn't interesting to me. But if I could make a show with someone like him, that would speak to me.
But if we, like, for instance, you know, because Kalima and I like to write things, mm-hmm. right? And we like to sell things.
Yeah.
If we had a show, right?
Yeah.
And I said, listen, the show's picked up. I wrote you this part. And let's say you're in New York.
Yeah.
Can you just put yourself on tape? Would you do it?
Yeah, why not?
If you said no, it would hurt me.
Yeah, no, why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah. And then if you got it, would you do it?
Yeah. I feel like that's all my acting parts are like just shit that Amy Schumer's done, where she's like, yeah, just do this. And it's like,
oh, right.
It's
right.
Great. It's I love her. So yeah, why not? Yeah.
That's how it all works anyway.
Yeah.
It just rarely.
I've never earned a spot in anything. Everything's been like a friend or, you know?
Dude, whenever I'm on a movie, I always try to discover why I'm there. You know what I mean? So I'll ask around. I go, so who?
I like that we talked about self-loathing early on, and you're just like, I don't, why am
I? It's not based on my audition or my talent. It's always based on something. So there's always somebody that goes, oh, dude, it's like when I was an open micer, right? Yeah. You were like really cool to me. I think you're really funny, you know what I mean, too? But I just thought of you when I was doing this. It's always something like that. It's never like, I never gotten a job where somebody said, I didn't know who the hell you were, but I saw that tape, and I just went, I gotta meet this guy.
But isn't it almost better, like, just getting it because you're you? And like, I feel like, yeah, those tapes are auditions, but you just being you is a constant audition. Like, people just know you from stuff.
It's also easier that way.
Yeah.
When you're on set. I have gotten a couple of things where they didn't know who I was, and it's like, I can see their, like, guilt of, like, even hiring you. When they see you rehearse, they'll just be like, they'll give this face.
Right? What if we tried this another way? If you just what if you didn't sound like a fucking autistic dipshit when you read it? You're just oh, that's a good, thank you for the note.
Or there's like Video Village, right?
Oh man,
where the director and the producers, right? So you'll rehearse, and they're always like, you don't know what they're saying, right? And you're like still doing it, and you, in your peripheral, you see them, and you're going, oh. This is not good.
Oh, man.
All right, so at the end of our show, first of all, can I just say something?
Yeah.
That floated by so quickly.
Wow, is it done? That's crazy.
Yeah, it was well over an hour. And so quickly, so casually.
Yeah, you got it.
And it's like, I love guys like you so much. And I hopefully now, when we run into each other, it can be more real.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't you think?
I never looked at it as fake.
Neither did I really. Not really, me too.
Yeah.
But, but here's another thing I want to ask you. Are you a regular at the store?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I think that needs to happen.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think
you're the right temperament.
The store is weird. You know, I feel like the comedy cellar is a little, it's funny the cellar gets such a rap as being like not welcoming, but I feel like the store is weirder than the cellar.
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
I think it is.
It's not. That's such bullshit.
I used to, it is. I used to call in and they'd be like, you can do a 5-minute developmental spot. And I'd be like, I'm good. You know?
Yeah. To play the cellar, Esty has to see you. It's the same thing.
It's different now, I think. She does, but also like if you were just like, can I work there?
No.
I think they would.
That's not true because, before 5 years, I don't know. Did I see? Yeah, we were no.
We've been
did
together
I,
8 years.
Yeah, but when I was with you, did I have to audition for Esty?
I don't think so.
I think so.
Yeah,
I 100% think so. Yeah. So 1 year I was playing Caroline's or something, and I wanted to get into the cellar, and I called like 3 or 4 guys, Burn, and they got me one. And then I remember having to go there late at night.
It's late. Yeah.
Like 2 in the morning or something. Or 1:30 in the morning.
Something late.
And then she was there. And I remember this. And I had already done Mad and a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
I just remember this enormous amount of pressure.
Yeah.
Right?
I was so nervous.
Yeah. And also it's intimidating because you're, you know, that restaurant above it or next to
the
it?
The Olive Tree.
The Olive Tree, right?
They fuck with me when I was there. Keith Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
I sit down and he goes, look how scared he is. Jesus.
Right. Like, because I remember me being there and it's like, oh, there's Chris Rock. You know what I mean? There's Ray Romano. You know what I mean? It's like more, the level of talent is far exceeds the store in terms of condensed in a small. So I think it's more intimidating at the Cellar. Because I'm going to say
this. I didn't say more intimidating. I just think the doors are more, they're more like you're not.
No, I'm going to say something else too.
All right.
And this is a compliment to you guys.
All right.
You obviously have better stand-ups there.
And you guys are better at everything else. Look at this studio. Holy shit.
I know.
I've been doing shit on Zoom.
I know. But my point is that if I could write a list of like New York young guys, it's like, it's so intimidating. Because I respect all of you guys, right? And Stuart, we do have great young people, but it's just not the same caliber. My point is that
everything's condensed in New York. I mean, the stand up.
All right, I'm not arguing with you, man.
I'm agreeing with
telling you. Telling you my point of
Jesus
view.
Jesus Christ!
It's not really that. God. It's not. How is it intimidating at the store just because you're not a regular yet?
No, I just think it's more kind of like you're not in yet. I think it's more.
And then once you're in for life.
Yeah, it was the same everywhere. It's not exclusive to the store.
Why are you trying to argue with this? He's agreeing to everything.
Just agree, right?
That you're in for life. No, sure. The thing I already agreed with?
Yeah.
Right.
No, just hear me out, okay? But here's my plan, okay? Uh-huh. My plan is this, and have I said this up to any comic from New York?
What are you? You haven't said it yet.
You about to say?
I don't know until you say it.
Oh, I'm going to say it, right?
Okay.
Sam.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get him in.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And it's going to start this week, right?
All right.
And I'm going to go to Emily this week, right? And pitch, right?
Yeah, but...
You might have... No.
No, but it's like, Sam's the shit. Everyone knows the shit. He doesn't need your, like...
I think I just talked to her. I don't think they're passing people anytime soon.
Yeah,
she's the new booker, and there's probably shit that comes with
it. They're going to pass you.
Why did you do it with this?
Because you did it that way.
Oh, wait.
Didn't you do this?
Yeah, but when I did it, I don't know.
Yeah. You did it first. I'm like, I just did a rabbit ears.
Yeah, but but let him be his own hero. You don't have to be it.
Okay, lady. excuse me. Woman.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to put hands on you.
Can I just make a point?
Yeah.
And this is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know Marilyn Rice Cub?
Yes.
Okay. She does stand up, but she's also been a lot of TV.
An accomplished actress as well. Yeah.
Accomplished actor.
Sure.
Actress.
Tomorrow War.
She's in Tomorrow War, which, by the way, do you see it?
I didn't realize till now that you're wearing Crocs. This is the first moment.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Yeah, really good.
It's getting so much, but I see it everywhere. Yeah.
And she kills it in it. She's so funny in it, right? But I was hanging out with her maybe three nights ago, and we're at the store and we're just talking, and she goes, remember that one time I met you here to get, so I couldn't get into the Comedy Store, and then we met here, and then you were gonna take me to Tommy, so I brought Marilyn Rice up to Tommy, who was a booker at the time, and I go, so look who I have here, and he kind of looks up from like the booth, and he starts writing something. I go, excuse me, Tommy, look. He's like, I don't know who the fuck she is. And I go, that's, now I'm embarrassed.
And at this time, she's probably already on 24.
She had already done all of them.
Yeah, Jesus.
Right, this is how insane this is.
Yeah.
And I go, excuse me, Marilyn. And she's like, because she told me 3 nights ago that she was like, couldn't believe it. Like, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I go, I pull him aside and go, dude, I don't give a fuck. You think you're the king of bookers? It's like, you're not even aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a woman. She's super talented. She does stand up. She does sketch. She does everything, right?
That's fucked up. You had to tell him she was a woman. That's crazy.
But at the time, right, we didn't have a lot, right?
Yeah.
That like, the males dominated the lineup. Sure. So it was one of those things where I'm like, you know, I've always been pro women.
No one's arguing you.
That sound weird?
Yeah.
It made it sound like you were not pro-woman.
So and I'm going to get this on the record. Rape is wrong. I'm going to say it.
That's not what I'm saying.
I don't care who disagrees with me. I'm just going to put it out
All right, dude. You know what? I'm not going to get you in. All right, you're out now. But my point is that sometimes you need a guy to go up for bat for somebody.
Yeah, you can cut this part out, but like that's a very like telling people all the good deeds you've done. It's very
what?
It's very Carlos Mencia.
Oh.
Your
man.
Mentor.
The Mencia.
You know, be really Carlos Mencia if I then told all the good deeds I've done.
Okay. You're right.
Look.
You're right. All right. In retrospect, you're right. It sounded gross. All right. You get on in on your own. Right. Good luck to you.
Let's fucking move on. I love you. And we're keeping all of that in.
Keep it in.
Even the Mencia part?
Yeah,
why not?
It's funny.
Oh.
It's funny.
He doesn't need 2021 hate.
It's hilarious.
It's a brand new year.
We'll have him on again. It's fine.
We are?
Yeah, we'll defend it.
Okay.
So at the end of our podcast, Sam, we do a thing called Unhelpful Advice. People email us problems, right? How long are you in town for, by the way?
I'm leaving, but I'm coming back next week, and I'm back in August as well.
Oh, because you're playing Oklahoma this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. Just before you start, give me your top three best comedy clubs in the United States right now. Madison.
And don't include the Cellar because that's my home. Or
yeah, you know, not showcase clubs in big cities, but on the road.
Real tough, but Madison's got to be up there.
Yeah, I love it. I've played it once, and when I was playing there, I was like, can I please ask me back?
Yeah.
It was great.
I love, and taking into account like the whole package, like Green Room.
The whole everything. Thing, how they treat you.
Denver's pretty great.
Comedy Works. Oh, it's.
I've only done it once. I'm back
downtown?
I'm back this year. I did downtown for a night because I did the other one for the weekend.
Oh.
I know, it was a bummer. I was like, why are you putting me in the suburban room? I'm not fucking Tom Papa. What the hell?
Yeah,
I love Tom Papa.
Love Tom Papa.
It's a joke.
But you're right. The downtown Comedy Works is one of the best rooms in America.
It's like
Comedy on A Street, Madison, downtown Denver, Comedy Works. What's the third one?
I'm going between a few. For some reason, I mean, I love Philly Helium.
Love it.
Something incredible about that. I really love Wise Guys in Salt Lake.
Love Wise Guys.
That club is kind of magical because the Mormons come out, but then you get the non-Mormons who are like, we're fucking cool. Fuck the Mormons. You know?
Yeah.
So there's this great energy of like, they want it hard and they want it fast. So
yeah.
Hard not to say Wise Guys. There's so many, but those
there's
are
so
the
many
three
good
that
ones.
Pop out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably, but like, shit, I love so, there's so many.
Dude. I know. You probably missed, do you ever read Parlor Live in Bellevue?
Never did that. I always did,
the Tacoma one.
Well, I also did Laughs and Kirkland.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've got a million fucking stories about.
But the Parlor Live.
They literally put me up in a fucking, like, crack motel. Where I was such an abused puppy dog comic that I was like, this is great. Look at a fucking meth head passed out against my... I opened the motel blind, and there's just a meth head passed out against... I told Marina Franklin, I'm like, it's a great hotel. It's really... And she's like, Sam, this is like a fucking meth... She's like, I have to get like taxied out of here.
Yeah.
I recommended it to a female comic on the road, thinking it was a nice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry though. Yeah, no, I never did the Parlor. I heard it was beautiful.
When I was in Toronto,
yeah,
they booked me in a hotel in Chinatown because they thought I'd feel more comfortable.
That's fucking great.
And then we have a nicer club. We have a much better hotel near the club, but we just thought that you'd feel more comfortable.
But
there.
Were you more comfortable?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't?
I was so angry. I would look out the window.
You stunk of
fish. And look at all these
stage.
Chinks walking down the street. These ching chongs walking down the
street. Acme's solid. I'm leaving out a bunch. But
Yeah.
There's
never played Acme.
Acme's classic. I mean,
okay, let me throw some out.
Yeah.
Tempe Improv.
I'm supposed to be in either that or Stand Up Live in November. I've never actually done it.
Okay.
I played fucking Stand Up Scottsdale, where the owner, Howard Hughes, great guy, but he was on Bar Rescue twice. So yeah. Let me give you an idea what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy in the crowd had a fucking stroke. Oh, man. And this is what he does. I'm on stage thinking I'm killing.
Yeah.
And I see a guy and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm killing pretty hard. And she's like, no, he's having a stroke. And I'm like, fuck, call an ambulance. I jump off stage. He calls one. Then he goes on stage and starts doing shtick with the guy who had a stroke. So he's like, so where are you from? I'm like, dude, you're going to do crowd work with a guy who's having a stroke?
Oh, my God.
It was one of the craziest. And then literally as he's getting wheeled out, the guy gave us a thumbs up. I was like, you poor bastard.
Wow.
Crazy.
I think I would have laughed.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty fucking funny. But no, I heard Tempe Improv is like...
It's a great room.
Classic, right?
Well, Stand Up Live is Tom Papa, right? Tempe Improv is more me.
Okay.
Tom Papa's a great comic, by the way.
I love his comedy, dude. I listen to his comedy sometimes when I forget how to write jokes because he's different than me, but he's like so crisp and clean and like I love his stand-up.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing lately. I've been watching people like Gaffigan. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
Because like he'll take an angle that just so simple, sometimes so simple, but so clever, right? Yeah. And I've been listening to other I've been listening to, you know, Black comics and different comics to get cadence and point of view because I want to learn to just write again.
That'd be great if I just said name one and you're like, fuck. Jeez.
Yeah. Martin Lawrence.
All right, so let's do an unhelpful advice.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalila, and Sam.
This one is entitled, Did My Girlfriend Cheat on Me? ? My name is Thomas. I am 21 and need relationship advice. I've been with my girlfriend for over a year and a half. This is my first real relationship, and it feels like it has fallen apart. My girlfriend approached me 2 weeks ago saying she is thinking about splitting up as she wants to do her own thing without the constraints of a boyfriend. She seemed undecided, and I felt she was looking for an easy way out of the relationship. We spoke about problems in the relationship and left it by saying she needed to figure out what she wanted. A few days later, she told me that she had kissed a guy at a party while drunk. Mm. She says the guy surprised her with it, and it lasted 10 to 15 seconds until she told him to stop. She also passed out in his bed that night, but woke up fully clothed and at the bottom of the bed. When she told me this, I didn't know how to react and cried. I also confronted her about a message I had seen to her ex that seemed mildly flirty. I love her so much.
And what if this just gets worse and worse?
Yeah.
Is there a dead body at the end of this?
I love her so much. And the life we had built together over the lockdown with my parents and pets is one of the best things I've ever experienced, and it hurts to throw that away. Should I forgive her for the drunk kiss?
How old is he?
He's really young.
He's 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, do you... Sam, you have anything? Because I have something.
I mean, the email is she cheating on me? You just wrote that she cheated on me. She's cheating on you.
Yeah.
Get out.
This is, honestly, if a girl came up to me and said, you know what? I just think that, I don't know if this is, I want to be in a relationship right now.
Think about your 21-year-old self, though.
I couldn't get any pussy then.
I know. So finally you get a girl.
So back then it'd be like, you know, but already I knew that they were the enemy.
Oh.
Like to me, back when I was a kid, you know what I mean? Because I saw all these white dudes that looked like Sam get all the girls, right? Right? Same type of body structure, bellboy, whatever, right?
1940.
And I was always hanging out with white dudes like this, like, you know, incels. Right? We play like in Dungeons and Dragons at the coffee shop or whatever, right? And I remember like just women were enemy number one because I knew that I desired them, but they just didn't like me, right? Mm. I needed to, you know, discover what my mutant power was, which is stand up and performing, right? But I didn't know that at the time, right? So they were, I wouldn't be in this situation. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that if a girl came up to me now and said, "Listen, I'm thinking about, I don't want to be in a," I'd be like, "Yeah, it's done." Just because I need commitment, and already when she says that, I just know that there's nothing I can do to fix this, and I don't want to be in front of. I want somebody to be committed.
All right, what if not that, but she is committed, but says, hey, I got drunk and I kissed the guy, but tell him to stop.
No.
And I think she like said, I fell asleep at the bottom of the bed. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, good. It was a different part of the bed. You were in his bed still.
Yeah.
If you want to be cool, if you want to play this cool, just say, take all the time you need. And then she'll fucking come back at some point, I bet. Mm-hmm. But don't fuck. But you probably don't even want her at this point. She sounds like
I love. She was fully clothed. Yeah, you can put your clothes back on. You know what I mean? After you fuck. So it's like
so true.
She fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not
say it, babe.
No, I agree with the both yeah. of you. This sounds like a very young. Disposable love. Let it go.
Yeah, agreed.
It's like also it's like they have a power.
Who has a power? Women this is your incel energy coming out.
No, I know I have incel energy. Right, George? We have incel energy. Sometimes we have to get together, right? And you know, it's a miracle that we're with people. Look at me right now, dude. You had a woman having wanting to have sex with you and having a kid because you just had a baby, right? That's a miracle. Me having Kalila is a fucking miracle from the Lord itself.
No, I agree.
You agree, right?
Totally.
So my point though is that right, bro? But they have a she's you worship the power. Don't worship it anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Once you stop worshiping, you're free. Be free.
Yeah. He added further context, and I think it puts it more into perspective.
Go give me the context then.
He goes. Oh, I didn't see it. Just further context. I do believe the kiss was not as bad as it may seem in writing. As she was led down on her phone and she reached over her.
Oh, he's a cuck. He's a fucking cuck.
I also do believe that nothing else was happening and she woke up fully clothed.
Yeah.
He's a cuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just need to find something else, man. I'm thinking ISIS. Those you don't worship women there, man.
Yeah.
No, get out.
Get out. Anything else?
That's it, Thomas.
Is there another one?
That's everything else. The relationship one, similar to this.
Well, there's no other unhelpful advices.
Bless your heart.
Not worth
young
it,
young chap.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Give me one that's not worth it.
Should I try stand up?
That's almost all of them. Is like, hey, how do I get into comedy? I'm not that funny.
All right. Well, then give me one of those.
Okay. All right, I'll go.
You have two stand-ups here.
Hey guys, I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My family thinks I'm funny. And I've seen you a lot of stand-ups on TV, and they seem like something I can do. Should I do it?
That was a fake. Look at him. He just improv that.
Did you just make up that story? I'll be honest with me.
Framed at Second City.
Yes. He just made
that shit
up. Did
you just make up that fucking thing?
The craziest thing is that everyone bought it except Kalila.
Yeah, because
I didn't buy it.
And I could see his eyes shifting. It's a lie.
So you don't have one.
No, they're literally like, I can go through it. I have to look for them. But they're almost all like, I'm from this small town.
I can vouch
I see you guys doing comedy and the podcast looks so fun. I think I can do it, my friend.
Okay, I have something to say. Okay. Do you have one?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So David Letterman, he said this out loud once. He goes, whenever a young comic, right, comes up to me and goes, I'm thinking about doing stand-up. He always says, don't do it. You're not going to make it. It's going to be terrible. It's a terrible life. Don't do it. Because the ones that do it anyway are the real comedians.
That's smart.
Right?
That's perfect. Yeah, it is tough. So just know that, I mean, you got to love it. So
yeah, like you ever heard the Bill Hicks, Jay Leno story?
No.
So I guess Bill Hicks, I'm, you know, I don't want to, you know, make shit up and embellish this thing, but I have a vague, I think I know the story. So basically, Jay Leno was in Houston and it would teach these comedy classes, right? And when Bill Hicks was in high school, he escaped his house, took a bus to go see Jay Leno's. To take Jay Leno's class. Mm-hmm. He was in the Laugh Stop. I think that's where it was. And Jay Leno was telling him the group joke structure, right? Going like, well, this is the way you have supposed to write a joke, and you know what I mean, or whatever. And Bill Hicks, as a kid, goes, why do you have to do it that way? That doesn't make any sense. That's a structure that you know what I mean? But it's like, you can do other things, you know what I mean? You can do, right? And then Jay, I guess, said, well, you know, that's how stand-ups do it. And Bill Hicks basically said, fuck this, and he left as a kid, right? You knew, Jay Leno probably deep down knew that kid was going to fucking make it. You know what I mean? That's what
And then write a bit shitting on him 20 years later.
Oh, yeah. He did that bit, right? About, you know what I mean? The peacock and shooting himself in the head. I know. So it's like,
wow.
Yeah, so any comic, don't email us anymore. What's this?
George, that's George's dad with Jay Leno.
Oh, that is George. It's just Papa Kimmel.
That's your dad?
Yeah. They look alike or no?
Because George's dad has a... He
that is your
engines,
dad.
He built engines, right?
Steam engines.
So was this...
I met Leno. Leno called me. He called me like 2 months ago or something.
Yeah.
He was just like, oh, I watched your special and I really liked it. And I'm an idiot. And I took that to mean, oh, I guess we're buddies now. So I just sent him a text recently. I was like, hey, Jay, saw you back on stage. How's it going, man? He wrote back something like, everything's good. Best wishes, Jay. It was in a way where he didn't respond best to my, it was like very.
No, I know what that is. He didn't save your number as Sam.
Yeah.
It came in as an unknown.
I said it's Sam.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Best wish.
I said something like, oh, I saw you back on stage. He wrote, yeah. He's like, he wrote in a very way like, this conversation is not going any further.
Yeah.
That's almost worse than being left on read.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
He might just be busy. He's probably busy. He's probably fixing a fucking car midway through and manly that I could never do.
That's what how Steve Byrne, the way I met Steve Byrne is I did the Tonight Show in 2000. Mm. And just out of nowhere, he just calls me. And I go, how'd you get my number? He goes, well, I'm Steve Byrne. I'm a half Korean comic. And I just have to say, I got your number from Barry Katz. And that, like, I saw you on the Tonight Show. And I just thought, I need to meet this guy. This guy was so funny.
Wow.
And, you know, I think that when comics do that, call people out of the blue sometimes, it is cool.
Yeah. No, it made my day that he called. I think I was having, like, a bad day. And Leno was like, I watched your special.
That's amazing. Really dude, like, yeah. Take that.
Yeah.
Take that. As an amazing call.
No, I should have just been like, I'll never speak to him again. I had to squeeze
you
some
try to
more
one up it or something.
Juice out of
Yeah.
I'd be like, so Jay, what's popping Saturday?
You should have done that.
Cars, right? They're fucking crazy.
Yeah, you get hit with the best wishes.
Yeah. Best wishes hurts.
Yeah, that hurts.
Well, yeah, I have one story about this I never told, right? So one day I did this charity for some remember I did that charity for the rock and roll?
This wasn't the one where Jerry Seinfeld was calling.
No.
I did this name the whole time.
No, I was in. It was here in downtown. It was like Slash played and all these rock and rollers played.
I don't think that.
I hosted the whole thing.
I wasn't with you then.
You weren't. So I hosted this whole thing, and I remember afterwards, Moby, right, came up to me, and he goes, "Hey, that bit you do about cuddling," and he was with some girl. He's like, "We were both laughing because that's how I feel about it or whatever," right. And I go, oh, cool. And he's like, hey, man, he's a really funny guy, man. Nice to meet you. So then I saw him at...
Oh, no.
So I saw him at a restaurant in Los Feliz. And I put my hand on him from behind. And I go, what's up, man? And he goes like this. What the fuck? And I go, oh, no. You saw me a couple years ago at the event, the rock. You know, I was stumbled with words.
Oh no!
Right, and he goes, "I don't remember that, man."
Oh my
and
god!
I go, oh,
also,
Eminem was
doing?
Right. That guy can get stung by OB, dude.
I know, but it's like, you know, it's like I should have left it at. You know what I mean? Like that bit.
But you're coming from behind and just holding him.
But if I'm at a restaurant, yeah, I'm sorry. If I'm at a restaurant. Okay, let's say your girlfriend Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, I remember going to seeing her years ago, a couple years ago at the Laugh Factory. She got off stage. Because I had a follower. I literally in my head thought, "Holy shit, am I going to be able to follow that?" That's how good she was that night.
Yeah.
So when she got off stage, I looked at her. I'd never met her before in my life, and I go, "Hey, I'm Bobby. I just want to know, dude, you fucking crush." She's like, "Thank you." Right.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna A year later, I'm at a restaurant, and Taylor Tomlinson came up to me and rubbed my back and goes, "What's up?" I wouldn't be like, "What the fuck?"
But you don't know his trigger.
No!
What if he's
been wrong?
What if he's been stabbed by an ice pick
Some people have issues with being touched. I remember I met a guy once, and I put my hand on his shoulders. "Hey, great to see you." And he goes, "I don't like being touched." And I was like, all right, sorry.
Oh, yeah. But those are weirdos, dude.
That's weird.
You're right, because it's like, for me, I don't like strangers coming from behind either. So if I'm in a restaurant, I always turn my... What seat do I choose? I never have my back to a crowd.
The Don seat.
Yeah, I have to know the whole thing because I'm very jumpy.
Sure.
So maybe Moby's just jumpy.
But when people say, "I don't like being touched," that's an invite for me to test the water.
Okay.
What's his name? Donnell Rawlings. Swear to God, this happened a week ago. He goes, "Hey man, I want to talk to you about." So he was in his car, right? And I walk up. He doesn't like. He hates me touching him. So I put. He has bald head, and I had just got him so I'm sweaty.
Yeah.
Right. And I just. He goes, "Hey, so I want to ask you a question." And while he was saying that, I literally put my hand and I just caressed his head as hard as I could, like this, down his neck, and he went, and he fucking. He zipped out of the fucking car, and he never. I didn't know what he wanted to talk about or anything like that. But my point is that don't. It's like, don't tell me your weakness.
Oh. I'm gonna just connect it to the Moby thing. It feels like you just told us an unrelated story about.
Maybe I should have ended this podcast 10 minutes ago. Like, we're keeping this in because you know. Listen, I want to end with this. My fans, they know that a lot of times I talk, and I don't know what I'm saying. And I'll just go, let's go with this idea in your thought, in your mind, right? And then you see a dead end, right? So what do? I try to fucking ram through in my car, through the brick wall. And sometimes it doesn't work. I want to say this, Sam. Every year you have to do our podcast.
I would be honored.
We really like you. You're a really nice guy. I honestly think that you have honestly. Why are you smiling?
I don't know. You're being nice. I'm smiling. Is that weird?
I just was trying to say something vulnerable.
You said come back every year, and I smile.
The smile started.
Should I have frowned? I'm like,
no,
fuck.
But the smile. Don't be weird, because the smile started when I was about to give you another compliment.
Oh, okay.
All right. So just look at me. Right. No, don't smile. Can you not smile?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So I want to say that. No, honestly though. That I honestly think that you have a very big future.
Thank you, man.
And that you...
you too.
I'm going to die soon, but thank you.
Why are you going to die soon?
I'm 50. Okay. The end is near.
All right.
Yeah. But but you're...
You're 50?
Yeah.
And you dress like this?
I know. Does it look weird?
It's crazy.
Does it look weird, though?
No, I mean, look, if you're a serial killer, it works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I want to say that even when you're big... I want you to bigger than you are now. That you're always. I would love you to have back.
I'd be honored to come.
We've had great people on. Okay.
I know.
Okay. So
this is a big deal.
Give Sam a round of applause.
Thank you. Yeah, podcast. You want to promote or shows?
Yeah. When does this come out?
Next week. So they're gonna miss the
break. I'm at Nashville all weekend at Zany's. I'm on the road every week. So samroll.com/shows. I'm at
You guys have to come to Nashville because this guy's so quick on his feet. He's gonna rant and do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I'm Lexington, Kentucky the next week. I'm in Portland, Oregon, Kansas City, Boston, Philly, everything. I got
doing Helium in Portland?
Yeah.
Love that club.
Love that club. And Helium in Philly as well.
Dude, why can't you go every weekend?
Every week.
Why?
Because I miss this shit during the pandemic. I love the road. I love it. I don't feel productive when I'm at home doing like 10, 15 minute sets. I feel like I need to fail repeatedly to get a new bit. So I like it.
Wow. But anyway, we already clapped for you.
Yeah.
So can we edit this part in?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We already did that too.
Well,
and clap.
Check out thank you so much as well.
Ooh, I like that picture.
Wait, you have one with Mark?
Oh, yeah, we do. It's new. It's been doing pretty well. It's been fun as hell.
What did Mark tell you? He was just on ours.
Yeah, he told me to message you.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah,
you guys are similar, not in terms of style and act, but in terms of how I view. I'm being real when I say, just real quick, that I honestly believe there's a new white movement coming out of
that sounds terrible.
We met on January 6th.
Stop. Okay.
Peshmerga people are people.
No, it's not. Don't make me mad.
Oh, with the Peshmerga mode song.
No, don't. People aren't people.
Okay.
Okay. Because I just wanted to say this. Okay, is that's why in LA you have Sundays, Mondays and Tuesdays, black nights, only black comics at certain comedy clubs because it's a cultural thing. Mm. There's a certain cultural thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been around for a very long time and I've seen white dudes do stand up, right? And it just, they weren't that good, right, to me. But when I see this new crop of New York guys, right, that happen to be white, right, because they have their own language as well, right? Asians do it in their own way, right? So what I'm saying is that when I see these young guys like Schultz, you probably get along with Schultz.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. I mean, Mark is like one of my best friends.
Yeah, yeah. Schultz, Mark,
yeah.
Chris D, some of these young guys, right? I look at them and I go, oh my God, they're so fucking funny and just seems so relevant, is all I'm saying. Mm. I look at Taylor the same thing. I go,
yeah, for sure.
I go, she's a beast.
And she works so hard. And you can tell she's a beast funny.
Because
yeah,
you hear other female comics talking about her.
Yeah, they're like, shit, she's taking our one spot on the lineup.
No, but they're like, there is a little threat, though.
Well, everyone feels
in their
threatened.
Voice.
Everyone feels threatened. Yeah, you know, I mean, but if you use it as fuel and not feeling like fuck them, but more like shit, I got to step it up.
Yeah,
like if you look at it in a positive way, I mean, Taylor's a murderer, you know.
She really is.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She's a great joke writer too.
Yeah.
Not just in performance. Her performance is
great. No, I know. I thought you were doing
because you know, right? There's some people are. My performance is my strength.
Yeah, yeah.
Writing isn't, right? I know how to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but then some people can do both in a weird way.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it.